the House announces key appropriations deadlines. A senator investigates the prices of weight loss drugs. And the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid's Innovation Center comes under scrutiny from Congress. For the week of April 29th, 2024, from Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., this is Health on the Hill, brought to you by Heart Health Strategies. I'm Matt Duckworth.
CMMI is supposed to be our incubator, our place to test ideas, but on a very small scale. So if they don't work, we've not spent a ton of money. But if they do work, the return will be phenomenal. And what we want is to promote innovation. So CMMI is the place where we can tell the private sector, give us your best idea. We'll help seed it, and if it can go, great. And if it doesn't, no one, including the taxpayer, loses a whole lot. So
kicking off this week's episode with news from Capitol Hill, where House Budget Committee Chairman Jody Arrington, a Republican from Texas, and Budget Committee Healthcare Task Force Chair Michael Burgess, a Republican from Texas, are requesting that the Government Accountability Office investigate the effectiveness of the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Innovation, or CMMI. Arrington and Burgess argue that CMMI has failed to deliver on its mandate to test new payment models that address healthcare costs and quality. CMMI spending is set to increase by $1.3 billion by 2030, while only six of the more than 50 models it has tested have resulted in statistically significant savings. A statement from Arrington and Burgess reads, quote, "We must conduct budgetary oversight of mandatory healthcare programs such as CMMI that are adding to our national debt and not delivering for taxpayers or patients," unquote. The lawmakers ask GAO to review the agency's dedicated funding and performance and to evaluate which of the payment models tested by CMMI have saved money or increased spending.
$155. The American people, in my view, no matter what your political view may be, are sick and tired of being ripped off by drug companies and paying the highest prices in the world for prescription drugs, including Ozempic.
That was the voice of Senator Bernie Sanders, an independent from Vermont who caucuses with the Democrats and chairs the Senate Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee. He announced last week that he's opening a new investigation into the price of weight loss drugs, Ozempic and Wegovy. The products currently sell for approximately $1,000 a month. Sanders said in a statement, quote, "The unjustifiably high prices of Ozempic and Wegovy are already straining the budgets of Medicare and Medicaid and severely limiting access for patients who need these drugs," unquote. Sanders sent a letter to Novo Nordisk's CEO requesting that the drug company substantially reduce the list price and the net price of both Ozempic and Wegovy, and provide detailed information regarding the pricing, cost, and sale of each product. The letter had, quote, "The scientists at Novo Nordisk deserve great credit for developing these drugs that have the potential to be a game changer for millions of Americans struggling with type 2 diabetes and obesity. As important as these drugs are, they will not do any good for the millions of patients who cannot afford them," unquote.
Beginning of the 108th Congress, House Republicans committed to restoring regular order to the annual appropriations process. In recent years, the consensus-driven work product has been replaced by a failed status quo. The American people deserve better than the constant cycle of colossal multi-bill omnibus packages.
House Appropriations Committee Chair Tom Cole, a Republican from Oklahoma you just heard, announced a change to the congressional earmarking process for fiscal year 2025. The new policy will restrict the House of Representatives from earmarking funds for nonprofits, including healthcare facilities, under the latest Transportation, Housing, and Urban Development Appropriations Bill. House Republicans had previously banned earmarks under defense, financial services, and labor, health, and human services education appropriations ahead of fiscal year 2024 spending bills. Cole also announced a deadline of May 3rd for members to submit their earmark requests.
Speech. And believe me, I'm not Donald Payne. Those are big shoes. And people have asked about filling those shoes. Well, I wouldn't even try to kid you that I could fill those shoes. But I'm standing on his shoulders. I understand what he wanted for this community. I understand what he wanted for this state. And I understand what he
wanted. Some somber news today, where six-term Congressman Donald Payne Jr., a Democrat from New Jersey, died last week at the age of 65. Payne had been hospitalized since suffering a cardiac episode related to complications from diabetes earlier this month. Payne succeeded his father, New Jersey's first ever black representative in Congress, in representing the state's 10th congressional district. During his time in the House of Representatives, he sponsored legislation to promote screening for colorectal cancer and peripheral arterial disease. He was a member of the Homeland Security and Transportation and Infrastructure Committees. House leadership announced that votes are no longer expected May 2nd to accommodate his funeral service. Payne's death leaves the House with a 217 to 212 Republican-Democrat split, with six vacancies.
The only time you would use antibiotics when you've got a viral infection is if you had a secondary proven bacterial infection that was sensitive to those antibiotics. So in other words, they were not being used appropriately. And if you are, the main harm, of course, is that if you are using antibiotics, you're increasing the likelihood of antimicrobial resistance to those particular antibiotics, so that when you do need
final news today, where the World Health Organization released new findings last week revealing extensive worldwide overuse of antibiotics during the COVID-19 pandemic. While only 8% of hospitalized patients with COVID-19 had bacterial co-infections requiring antibiotics, 75% of patients were treated with antibiotics just in case they help. Antibiotic use ranged from 33% in the Western Pacific region to 83% in the Eastern Mediterranean and the African regions. A statement from Dr. Yukiko Nakatani, who serves as the WHO Assistant Director General for Antimicrobial Resistance, read, quote, "These findings underscore the important need to adequately resource the efforts to improve antibiotic prescribing globally, and are particularly relevant to discuss ahead of the upcoming UN General Assembly high-level meeting on antimicrobial resistance to take place this September." Unquote.
The meeting will come to order. Welcome to the Ways and Means Committee organizing meeting for the 118th Congress.
The Committee on Energy and Commerce will come to order. The chair recognizes herself for an opening statement.
And it's a pleasure to bring together the first meeting of the Finance Committee in the 118th Congress.
Good morning. The Senate Committee on Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions will come to order. All right.
We end each week's episode with a call to order, where we lightning round congressional meetings and hearings in the near future that you need to know about. First, on Tuesday, April 30th at 10 a.m., the House Energy and Commerce Subcommittee on Health holds a legislative hearing titled "Legislative Proposals to Increase Medicaid Access and Improve Program Integrity." Second, on Tuesday, April 30th at 10:30 a.m., the House Appropriations Subcommittee on Labor, Health and Human Services and Education hosts their Member Day hearing. Third, on Tuesday, April 30th at 2:30 p.m., the Senate Armed Services Subcommittee on Personnel convenes a hearing to examine the Department of Defense's efforts to ensure service members' access to safe, high-quality pharmaceuticals. Fourth, on Wednesday, May 1st at 9 a.m., the Senate Finance Committee gavels in a hearing titled "Hacking America's Healthcare: Assessing the Change Healthcare Cyber Attack and What's Next." Fifth, on Wednesday, May 1st at 10 a.m., the House Energy and Commerce Subcommittee on Oversight and Investigations and Subcommittee on Health host a joint hearing to discuss gain-of-function research with EcoHealth Alliance President Dr. Peter Daszak. Sixth, on Wednesday, May 1st at 2 p.m., the House Energy and Commerce Subcommittee on Oversight and Investigations holds a hearing to discuss the Change Healthcare cyber attack with Andrew Witte, Chief Executive Officer of United Health Group. And last, on Thursday, May 2nd at 10 a.m., the Senate Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions, or HELP Committee, convenes a hearing entitled, "What Can Congress Do to Address the Severe Shortage of Minority Healthcare Professionals and the Maternal Health Crisis?"
Thank you.
Thanks again for tuning into this week's episode of Health on the Hill, brought to you by Heart Health Strategies. For more information on this week's healthcare happenings in the administration and on Capitol Hill, you can visit our website at hhs.com and click on the news section at the top of the page. You can subscribe anywhere you get your podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and SoundCloud. Did we miss a story you wanted to hear this week? If so, email me at mduckworth@hhs.com, and we may include it in our next episode. Have a great week, and stay healthy.